Hello and welcome to Cool Sports Podcast episode 11. My name is Alex and unfortunately Ray is unavailable to come back to the podcast on his vacation, which is he moved around the world. He was flying around the world going to different exotic locations and on one sec here. Sorry about that. I just had to tighten the old mic up. It was slowly drooping down, like my heart, because I thought Ray was going to be here, but he got caught up in some sort of espionage act where he is now working with a secret group. I can't say too much to get someone out of a certain country who is possibly releasing sensitive information. I can neither confirm nor deny that that statement is true nor false. However, I can confirm that I went and visited an old friend out in Vancouver, Harrison. Harrison Bourdon. I always butcher his name and I apologize about that. But Harry is an old friend and he is attempting to become he's on the show to become a broadcaster for Gillette's Sports and Sportsnet's next draft, and I'm butchering this whole thing, but he explains it very well in the first 10 minutes here. Explains the competition that he's in. It's online right now, and he's going to actually be going to Toronto sometime this week, the second week here of August, the first full week of August, days here, 2013. So looking forward to hearing how he does there out in Toronto as the competition continues. He's already done some online videos and has had a pretty damn good reception. And I'm very happy to have him on because he's quite knowledgeable. And obviously, this is something that he enjoys. So I was happy to meet up with him. And I haven't seen him in a while either. So that was nice to quickly meet and get a podcast in too. Why not? Hopefully he'll be able to join us again later, and maybe even when he's out in Toronto, we'll give him a shout and be able to chat with him there, pending on how busy he gets with the show. But yeah, anyways, we might as well get this thing started. Forgot to cue the music, but we'll cue the music now in between this intro and the actual interview with my boy Harry out in Vancouver. It was actually Pride, I believe, that we did this Saturday, August 3rd in Vancouver. So, it was, we were very happy. Let me just put it that way. Very happy to see each other. Not in the sense that we are ex-lovers and hoping to rekindle a certain flame, but just that the love was in the air and you could feel it. The equality was being spread like warm butter on toast. If that's an imagery, you can get your beautiful little brains around. I'm sorry. I'll stop now. Here's the episode 11 Cool Sports Podcast with my boy Harry. Check it. Cue the music. Woo. I'm the GOAT. The greatest of all time. The greatest of all time. The greatest of all time. Hell yeah. The greatest of all time. Hold up. I'm the GOAT. The greatest of all time. Yeah. The greatest of all time. I'm sitting down here with my old friend Harry in Vancouver at his nice place. It's warm.
It is. It's pretty brutal. I don't have air conditioning.
Thanks for having me here, bro. Harry's doing Gillette. Is it Gillette Drafted?
Gillette Drafted on Sportsnet 360. Yeah, I've made the top 24 a couple months ago, and throughout the summer we've had social challenges to do, mm-hmm. Which is basically we get these challenges come to us via the Drafted Twitter or just the camp there, and we have to make videos like 1 or 2 minutes about different sports topics, and then they rank us on that, and
right.
That's
kind of how it's going. People vote on it, and
yeah, exactly. There's a whole website on like through Facebook that Gillette Drafted set up, and you can vote for all the different top 24 yeah. competitors. You can vote once a day, and that's ongoing until boot camp starts, which is actually in 1 week tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm flying to Toronto for it. And then they hold the top 24 boot camp, to pick the top six, and then the top six are on the show. And then from there, they pick Canada's next sportscaster.
Right. And the show is a kind of like a American Idol or whatever.
Sort of.
People vote?
There is still online voting, but ultimately it comes down to the judges.
Right.
Greg Sansoni from formerly The Score, who is now an executive producer with Sportsnet 360 after the acquisition from Rogers buying it.
Well, yeah.
And now they're part of the Sportsnet company, which is a much wider net, which is great for them. Like an absolute dream for all the people that work there, because now they just have so much more of a resource. I mean, right. Access to the Jays and all the NHL teams that Sportsnet has access to. So there's judges. I mean, there's executive producers from The Score there. From Sportsnet 360 there, and now. You know, it'll be huge, man. There'd be Gillette spokespeople there,
right,
as well, just watching everything.
Yeah.
And the show, they don't necessarily eliminate people. The top six last year were there for the whole show. And then they just picked a winner out of that. So,
okay, so
it's a typical...
you get a chance to go through the whole...
Exactly.
They want to see how you do through the whole competition, basically.
Yeah. They'll throw different challenges at you. Like, I think last year they did a big trivia one, and then they did a podcast one. Hence, I wanted to get some experience doing a podcast.
With the most professional
With sports, the absolute most professional cool sport. I wanted to go on the coolest one.
Yeah, of course.
I thought, like, it's in the name, baby. I thought, like, hip podcasts would be good. But I'm not hip.
No. So, and they're busy.
And I'm super cool. So I'm like, what am I doing if I'm not going on Cool Sports Guy?
How did you hear about the drafted? Because, I mean, did you know from the past, or was it just something you were like, hey,
you
man?
You know, I did. I've seen it in passing. I mean, I used to watch The Score a lot. So I would see the show on. I'd be like, wow, they have a reality show to pick the next sportscaster. That's amazing. I've always thought that I know more about sports than anyone.
Yeah.
But it just seemed amazing to me that, you know, any regular guy could come in and win this thing and then have a job at a reputable sports network.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to me. And I've seen it for the last few years. I watched some of season three when Jackie Redmond won. And then last year Matt Drapel won in season four. So now season five is here, and it seems like it's been bigger than any of the past years. And what's really impressive is that everyone who's won is still either working there or working in broadcasting in some regard, which is really cool.
Well, it's definitely me. It's a nice thing for you if that's something you're pursuing, to be like, okay, these guys are still doing it, and it's not just like
six months in the industry, when you win. You do get a one-year contract with Sportsnet 360 to work as an analyst or a broadcaster, and also a one-year contract with Gillette as a spokesperson.
Oh, cool.
But that being said, you know, Jackie Redmond still works there, and it's been over 2 years since she won. So, I mean, there's some longevity there, which is nice to know.
Yeah. Well, I mean... I'm looking forward to seeing you in the boot camp. Is that televised, or is that...
It is. I think it'll probably, when the show starts,
right?
They'll have the boot camp segment, but I have a feeling they'll put a lot of it up on the internet as soon as it's happening.
Right.
That tends to be the easiest way to get things out now.
Yeah. And honestly, it's easier to reach a whole bunch of people that way.
That's exactly it. And you have 24 people working for you to get the name out there, right?
I mean,
they're all promoting it all summer long, and they're getting their friends involved on Facebook, and it's actually really brilliant the way they're doing it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited, man. It was really cool to see you.
It's weird. It's been humbling, and I'm proud with how I've done so far. It's going to be a lot of work coming up.
Yeah.
A lot of sleepless nights. I've been obsessing over every facet of sports as much as I possibly could over the last 2 months. So it's been interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm not just jerking your chain. We're rooting for you, man. That's good. Well, let's jump into sports. The coolest sports.
Yeah.
Although I don't think baseball is, but hey.
Oh. Well, yeah, no, it's probably not the coolest. it's not the most user-friendly, that's for sure. Most people don't watch baseball and think, like, I'm having the most fun. Right.
Although I've been, like, if I was going to go to a sports game that I haven't been to, it would be, like, I've been to, obviously, a hockey game is great.
You've never been to a Major League
Never
baseball?
Been to a Major League baseball game.
You got to get down and see the Mariners. They're playing the Jays next week.
I want to go see the Canadians, actually.
I'm wearing a Canadians hat right
I think
now.
24th of August this month here. Yeah. I'm planning on. I want to go see, but...
you should. Well, it's easy. Nat Bailey.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I went... one of my buddies has season tickets, and I got his tickets off him for, like, $20 for both. It was stupid. So it was just like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And he was three rows back from the dugout.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, one of the best sporting events in North America.
If you enjoy sports,
yeah.
Man, I can't believe you haven't seen a Major League Baseball game.
I haven't, well, like, yeah.
Any sort of professional, like even semi-pro?
I think when I was young, I went and saw a doubleheader in Vancouver when the Blue Jays came and played out here.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I can't remember even who they played.
Right, and, you know, didn't really stick. Well, and when you're young, it's going to pass over you, like, pretty easily.
Yeah, exactly.
They leave impressions on you, that's for sure.
Definitely.
They last for life, but you have no idea why.
No, it was pretty... I do remember the stadium being... Because they played it in, I guess, the football stadium.
Okay, BC Place.
Back in the day, yeah, BC Place. So I'm assuming I can't really remember, right? So
I hate that. they try and convert, like, in Oakland at the stupid Coliseum. They try to convert. The Raiders and the A's play in the same place, and sometimes during the football season there will be dirt.
Yeah.
On the field, it's ridiculous. Like, you have these guys trotting around in the diamond. It doesn't. It's so brutal.
There's something like nostalgic or like. Throwback.
I love it, but it's just so not professional. It's
so
bush
weird.
League.
It's like these two big professional teams have to share an arena.
Scrape some money together, just get their own, like, or at least change over the field. Like,
yeah,
you're not even trying.
No, not even trying. Well, let's talk the doping, dude. The big story is A-Rod. He's going to get suspended for 214 games, they say. You mentioned that's going to...
So that's like, you know, I don't know, a season and a bit.
Is that his career? Is he going to come back and play?
I don't know, man. He seems to want to. Right. I know GM of the Yankees, Brian Cashman, he was pissed at him for his comments on Twitter saying that he was coming back. And it's becoming a comedy of errors for me.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing A-Rod's name and the fact that he's making $538,000 a week to not even play in games.
Is that how much he's getting paid right now?
A week.
Wow.
He's not even swinging the bat. And I mean, if it was, I it's stupid. He's making $28 million this year and he hasn't even walked out into Yankee Stadium in the Bronx once. That's mind-boggling. And now... I honestly think with this whole Biogenesis scandal, he's going to get hung up for a little bit, but I feel like it's a bit of a cop-out. I mean, now all of a sudden Bud Selig, the commissioner, wants to crack down on these guys. I mean, this guy's been making money off of these professionals who were doping, and there's no way that he didn't know they were doping.
Right.
I mean, guys have been guys doping in Major League Baseball has been going on for a very, very long time. And now all of a sudden he's pretending like, well, we're going to clean up the sport. It's the cleanest it's ever been. I mean, you have the reigning NL MVP candidate, Melky Cabrera, got strung up for 55 games last year.
Yeah.
He was the All-Star Game MVP. He was the game's cleanest it's ever been. That's ridiculous. And
it's
now A-Rod, well, it is tough because now, I mean, do you know how much... money the Yankees will save if he doesn't play next year?
Well, he had a $100 million contract, didn't he? Or is that the money left over?
It's in the catastrophic numbers.
Yeah.
The thing, yeah, they owe him like $100 million still. They don't want him to play because they benched him last season in the playoffs. They don't want him to play, so they would much rather save $30 million and not have him come out. So they're saying to the league, yeah, please suspend him because we don't want to pay him.
So if he gets suspended by the league,
it'll be suspended without pay.
No pay.
That's what happened to Ryan Braun. He's suspended the rest of the year.
Okay, but that would just be his contract would still be intact with the Yankees?
But he's not entitled to that money.
That
like, they'll still have to pay him out something, probably in like $60 million or something like that, when he does return or whatever, or if he chooses to retire. There's still money owed there. And I think if he does get suspended, he'll come after the Yankees for that money regardless, right. But he'll be tied up in legal battles anyways.
Right.
I think the interesting thing about it all is that I honestly feel like the Yankees are trying to make a deal with Major League Baseball saying, we don't want to pay this guy, so please suspend him.
So you think there might be a little backroom chatter going on? Yeah, I mean, there always
sure.
is.
The Yankees,
always
the
is.
Yankees are the face of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's
they're,
true.
They're, I mean, everybody knows that brand on a hat worldwide. It's the New York Yankees.
It almost represents baseball.
It they're baseball's team.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, love them or hate them, they are.
Yeah.
It's polarizing. Them and the Red Sox, it's very close, but I would give it to the Yankees hands down.
Yeah.
Most successful franchise in the history of the game.
Yeah.
And now they've sort of run into some trouble. I mean, George Steinbrenner dies in 2010, and the ship is kind of losing its hinges a little bit right now. I mean, they're hemorrhaging money out to these guys because they've signed huge contracts and they're not winning.
Yeah.
And that hasn't been a problem in New York for a very, very long time. So
right.
Now, where do you go from here? And I don't know. It's just a mess.
Well, like, I was watching... I can't remember who was chatting last night. Anyways, they brought up one of the owners from MLB,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, if you let the Yankees not have to pay A-Rod this money, they're just going to go. They're gonna in 2 years. You're gonna see. It was one of his star player. I can't remember the player's name. This is how much I love baseball.
Mm.
But he was like, you know, you're going to see our star player in the Yankees in 2 years.
Well, and you know what? It's a sentiment I've been saying for a while. Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, they're probably going to be Yankees in 5 or 6 years. That's just the way
yeah.
baseball works.
It seems to go that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two of the top prospects in baseball right now. I mean, absolutely top prospects. They're
yeah.
both all-stars. They're both machines out there. And they'll probably end up wearing pinstripes in the next decade.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works.
Yeah. What is the is that a problem in baseball? The not they have a cap, but it's not a hard cap.
Oh my God,
you,
no.
you pay like the Yankees pay more in fines than some teams pay
yeah,
in their
salary. Salary. It's silly.
But I mean, I look at that and I'm like, okay, that it shouldn't be allowed. But if the Yankees were winning every single year, we're always
mm-hmm.
winning the World Series,
mm-hmm.
then I would be more critical on that. But they don't win every single year.
No.
So I'm kind of like, well...
Not anymore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I'm sure there was a time when they...
Oh, it was a dynasty a few years
you know?
Ago. Yeah.
Yeah,
but with Rivera leaving now and the old guard, like, Jeter's getting older. He's got rickety
yeah.
ankles. And now they brought in Alfonso Soriano again for a second life. I don't know what's going on there. Ichiro is even there. Like, they have a lot of vets on this team. They're getting older. So now it's like, okay, how do we hold on to this sinking ship here? It's kind of a mess. I mean, it's interesting to me.
Because the Yankees, for a time, had always had one, the next big superstar after the
yeah,
other, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is the right order, but it was like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, anyways, and there was Mickey Mantle, I believe.
Yeah,
well.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that was the right order.
And then you go into the DiMaggio years, and Roger Maris is in there too. Like, it's...
But it doesn't seem like there is that... Like, it seems like they have a lot of these stars, these awesome, awesome,
mm-hmm.
great players, but there doesn't seem like there's that Trout or that this dude is the superstar of the
yeah,
league.
I mean, they definitely have a few guys there. They're still a powerful, powerful team, and they're
course,
still
yeah.
probably going to make the playoffs, and they still will threaten to win the World Series. Like, Robinson Cano, absolute fantastic player, but they've been losing guys. Like, Mark Teixeira is out. Nick Swisher is in Cleveland now. Like, they're losing these key guys who really help them win. I mean, they have Vernon Wells on their team, and he's fine, but he's definitely past his prime too.
Mm-hmm.
With all the money that they spend, they're not winning anymore. And now, you know, when you look at the whole Moneyball scenario,
yeah.
it's interesting to me. And now other teams are sort of adopting it a little bit. I mean, the Blue Jays, they did their best to kind of pull a New York Yankees this year, and it's really not
didn't
working.
Work.
not yet, but they
yeah,
still have
yeah.
a 3-year window.
That's true.
So I don't know. And what really tops it all off for me is this whole PED thing. It's just I'm tired of it. there's a reason why, you know, the Writers Association did not vote any players into the Hall of Fame this year, and I think it was because they're taking a stand on this whole PED thing. I mean, Roger Clemens isn't in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame. These guys are not going to get in, and that's what they're saying.
They won't ever vote them in.
No, well, I mean, they didn't vote them in this year. Why wouldn't they? Like, these guys are the best players in their eras, and they're not getting in. It doesn't. I mean, it's around that time. They should be first ballot guys, but they're not because the Writers Association is saying, well, you're cheaters, so you're not getting in.
Good feeling. My problem with sports now is I don't think they can ever stop players from using substances that are going to make you better, stronger, faster,
quicker, smarter. Guys are going to find ways around
it. They'll always find ways around it.
They absolutely will. Any guy, these are the most competitive people on the planet. I've said this time and time again. They're going to find an edge. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, as Brad May said. You know, and that's what it comes down to in sports, I think, is that you can try your best, but like these guys are going to find a way.
Well, how much of that is the person, and how much of that is possibly, obviously it's them too, but us as fans
as
being
pushing,
like,
we want
the best.
I want to see a new home run.
I want to see a new record broken every year.
You won't. If the game's
clean,
the game's clean, none of those records are going to be touched. Yeah. So how do you find a balance there? Because, how fun, John Rocker said it great, how fun was 1998? Watching Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa go hit for hit, shot for shot every night in a, like,
that was pretty crazy.
Mark McGwire's 70th home run ball is worth like $3 million, dude. That will never happen again because these guys don't have the juice in their veins. If they don't, we're not going to be entertained. And we're out for blood as sports fans. Like, that's what we want. So, I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive to me that we want to string all these guys up for life saying you're cheaters, you're not going to get a Hall of Fame, yet we expect greatness.
Yeah.
And we're gonna see mortals out there, and we don't want to see mortals. We want to see gods.
We do. The scary thing is, I don't want to see a guy like me who has, I can play sports. I can go out there. I can go.
I've seen you. You're a limber fellow.
Yeah, I'm a limber fellow, but I'm not gonna compete on any level. I would hate to see a dude like me in 1 year be able to compete because I've taken substances.
Well, exactly.
Because that, right? I think I don't mind. I don't want to see superheroes being made. I want to see.
Yeah.
Big, great, athletic men become the best that they can be.
Yeah, totally. Right? And it should be down to, you know, natural ability. That's what, and the key word there is natural. Yeah. But is that going to happen? I mean, now all these records have been there. They're not going to get touched because those guys had that extra kick that you and I wouldn't have. I mean, I have a friend who took some HGH a few years ago, and he said it made him feel like he was 16 again. He was just tearing up, like he just played like recreational soccer.
Yeah,
but he loved it, and it's expensive for, you know, guys like you and me. It's not expensive for athletes, but took a shot in the butt, and he was running around like he was six. Like, remember when you and I were 16, we could play road hockey or basketball for 8 hours, and it did not matter. Our joints wouldn't get achy. Man, now I'm 26, and I'm not exactly old by any means. I would be coming into my prime if I'd been training all my life. Yeah. But I can't do that, dude. Like, I go and I play the Y, and I play full court for, like, 10 minutes, and I want to die.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the energy anymore. And when he took HGH, like he said, it was just like, man, I could run up and down the pitch all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter. And that's scary, because it's like, well, now anybody can really become that. I saw an interview with Kurt Schilling, and he's talking about PEDs, and he's a guy who's tied into that as well. And he said that it made bad players good players great, and great players Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And that is really what it comes down to, is it just makes you a better caliber of player. Mm-hmm. It makes guys who shouldn't be record setters.
Yeah. And you know, it's if it is an even playing field where a league can take in and put out some guidelines, be like, look, we know we can't eliminate this. Mm-hmm. We're going to put out guidelines. You guys can dope. But you can do it, but there's going to be certain regulations. You can't go over this much. I'm just saying that's one way I can see
maybe
them working with it.
Or you just have a fire sale, man. You clean house. You don't let you take a stance on it and you say no one is going to be able to do this stuff. And then sports is going to dip for a little bit. But maybe when it gets down to the purity of sport, like it was, you know, say forever ago, maybe it'll be fun again. But I don't know, because it could be so detrimental to sports to see these monster athletes not be as monster.
And think about, like, how deep, like, probably back in the 70s and 80s, football teams were all doing steroids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's been, like, and that's just maybe even before that, there was some other
sort
of stuff.
Who knows, man? I don't know. I mean, it wasn't exactly as synonymous with every single player, but, I mean, as much as, like, 15 or 20 players in the NFL supposedly take human growth hormone.
Yeah.
I mean, look at them. They look like bodybuilders.
They say only 15?
Well, there could be as many as 15 to 20 players on each roster.
On each roster, yeah. Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Sorry, that's what I... Like, yeah. To clarify, like, no, on each team.
What about hockey? What do you think about hockey?
I'm not so sure. I don't think it's as easy in hockey because it's not about mass. I mean, you look at hockey players and they're not really built to spill sort of thing. They're more longevity. They have to have... They have to have endurance in hockey. You want to be bigger, faster, stronger, for sure, but...
Not at the...
There's a reason why there hasn't been as much scandal in hockey. I would say that is the one sport of the big four in North America that you would say that guys are a bit more natural athletes, because I don't know how much it would really benefit them.
Could you say the same thing about basketball too, maybe?
No.
Basketball,
they're athletic freaks. Half of them have got to be on something. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, and another way to look at it too is these guys are 6'8", running around. I mean, we all seen, like, you know, some of our favorite, well, mind you, they're wrestlers. I was going to say, like, Andre the Giant or whatever, but these guys get old, and because they're so big, their bodies deteriorate.
Yeah, they break
quicker.
Down. Yeah, yeah.
So
the shelf life for them is very, very small.
Right. And so, and you're starting at playing basketball at 18, maybe 19, 20, you get drafted in, or, like, you know, drafted in 18, 19, 20. You've already been playing for probably all your life, basically.
Yeah, since you were five.
There's a lot of wear that's been going down on your body.
On your joints,
And as you get
need
older,
something. Well, I mean, look.
So that's why I see the players turn to that, because they don't want to quit.
They can't do anything else.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
They don't have any other backups. That's why so many guys go broke after 5 years.
80% of...
something like that, yeah. Have you seen that? It was 30 80, for 30?
I think it was 80% of all... and NFL players after they've left the NFL are bankrupt in 2-5 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, because they have no financial foundations there. They just sleep their way through college.
Yeah.
Because they're a star and it's all paid for them. Everything in their life has come easy to them. They didn't have to have a backup plan because they knew they were going to make millions of dollars. And then all of a sudden you give a 20-year-old kid $10 million. Man, if I was 20 and I had $10 million.
Yeah, I know.
I would probably die. Like, I would have been...
You'd spend it like $20 million.
I would spend it like I'm 20.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, I would buy things that I can't afford, but I can afford them because look at all this money that's pouring in all the time. But eventually, that well runs dry.
Yeah.
So, that's a whole other topic. Just
athletes
and their finances.
That's another one for another day. So, I want to go over your top... sports events of 2013. You had a list.
I do have a bit of a list. It's been a crazy year. I mean, the year's just over half done, and already we've seen some pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
Even starts in January. I did some looking up. Like, January 6th, the NHL lockout ended. That was, you know, that's a big story. I mean, it almost cost the entire year.
And it would have been...
not only players, but for fans, and for people that work in these arenas and within the league. Like, it's a lot of people out of jobs.
Do you feel if the NHL didn't miss the whole season, that some players would have defected to the KHL?
Yeah, and it's already happened.
It's already happened.
I mean, look at Kovalchuk, look at a few other Russian players, it's happening.
Yeah.
And I definitely think, I mean, a lot of them are over there playing.
Yeah.
You know, Vasnovsky, like, didn't even report to camp when the Islanders started up again. He, you know, and he was still their property technically, and they had to fine him just to get him back there. So it was, I mean, yeah, definitely. If the year had ended, and there had been a complete work stoppage for the entire season, I think the NHL would still have come back strong this year, but it would have left a lot of question marks in players' heads as to whether this is actually the league for them.
Right.
Especially Russian-born players.
Yeah.
And then it moves on to like January 14th. Lance Armstrong had the Oprah interview where he just admitted that he took tons and tons of dope
again
to win again. The Tour de France seven times with
no,
one.
Didn't wasn't it like the top 20, 21 dudes?
Yeah, oh, dude,
like
you
that?
Had to go down yeah. that list yeah. like a several, like a couple dozen guys to find people that weren't doping.
Yeah,
and then again, that takes us back to doping.
Yeah,
it's just like. That race is impossible to win. And this year, Chris Froome won it. And who knows? He'll probably end up facing allegations of some sort of doping thing. Because in all likelihoods, yeah, he probably did in some way. We just haven't figured out what he took yet.
Yeah, we'll find out in 2 years out of
exactly. And then that'll get stripped from it. There's no place in cycling for this man. Yeah. But it's like, who's really? Not taking it?
Yeah.
And then January is a weird month, dude. Like January 16th, Manti Te'o. That whole fake girlfriend thing.
I still don't really understand that 100%. Did he know about it, or was he duped?
It's looking now like it was a big elaborate hoax, like he was the victim of it all. I don't know how you could be that stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you might want to make sure that your girlfriend is a real, live human being.
Before you go around saying.
Before you start, A, saying you have a girlfriend, and B, start using her death as motivation in interviews. I mean, it was like, I don't know, it was ridiculous, and it really sucks because he brought Notre Dame back to the promised land as you know, their captain, middle linebacker, and I think it drastically killed his draft stock this year.
Yeah,
but basically, yeah, I think it was a hoax. I just don't think he could have been in on it. Why? Like, why fake a girlfriend? That's going to get found out, man. Sports, yeah. In the age of social media, sports athletes are under such a microscope, it's not even funny. And anything that happens, like any little bit of dirt that happened in your past or is going on in your life, that can be found, dude. Like,
yeah.
Someone is going to dig and find it because everyone wants that little advantage over everybody else.
Yeah. Do you feel that like he... I don't know, maybe found out about it and then used it kind of to his advantage
maybe.
In a little bit? Or do you think it was totally over his head and then it kind of was just like a really
there's
embarrassing
a lot of,
thing for him?
I think anything at this point is speculative. Of course it was embarrassing.
I just have a really hard time finding a college or university,
especially one as prestigious as Notre Dame,
having to have an internet girlfriend. I don't get it.
Well, exactly.
I there's no way. And especially coming from Notre Dame, like, it's...
Yeah, man. Like, Notre Dame, everyone in the country who is aware that college football exists knows your name. You're a giant jack dude that you're not hideous. You're going to be making millions of dollars. Is it really that hard for you to find a girlfriend that exists?
Maybe she's sending him some really nice nudes.
I don't know, dude. It's just, that's, like... Again, a weird story.
But apparently his teammates, he went to the Chargers, drafted by the Chargers.
Yeah, they're saying great things about him in camp, but they say great things about every rookie in camp.
Yeah.
Every single rookie in camp. Eddie Lacy came to camp like the fattest dude ever. And now they're saying, oh, he's having a great camp. He was like 30 pounds overweight. He was a fatty. There's this picture I have to show you. It's so funny. There's a picture like side by side of him doing a post-draft workout. And then he came to training camp. It was like he ate...
Just ate.
His family. Like, I don't know what happened. He looked gross. Anyways, moving on to other biggest stories of the year. That's a big story. It's not necessarily, you know, quote-unquote big. But
right.
It's just large.
It's a large story.
Crazy things like the Miami Heat winning 27 games in a row. That's stupid. And the Blackhawks winning 24 games in without losing in regulation. Yeah. That was insane.
And one of the things that what was the record? It was 31 games?
Mhm. I think so. They were catching up to the Showtime Lakers there, I believe.
Yes. Now, it was this Heat's team record more impressive than that Lakers record because of the era, or like, I find that nowadays, and I don't really know because I can't go back and watch all the games to really get a good perspective, like, you know, of that time
caliber. Yeah,
but I would assume that the average player is much better than they were back in back, just through training and
through training and technology and through everything. Yeah, for sure. Nutrition, even like these, like ask Charles Barkley what he ate before and after every game, and I'll tell you, most of the time it was cheeseburgers. That guy had no nutrition level, and he admits to it, and that is why maybe his career did, I mean, he's still a Hall of Famer, but his career probably could have been sustained a lot longer. So I think that the this is a more impressive streak to me, because they it was seriously, it's hard to win 27 games in a row in the NBA today. I mean, at any given night, you can lose by 40.
Yep.
And to be able to, especially, and the biggest part of that, I remember, was that crazy comeback in Cleveland when they were down in the second half by, like, 20-plus.
Yeah.
And they came back to win it in the fourth. I was like, this team is going to be a dynasty.
Yeah.
And now they've won two straight, and it's
when does the dynasty when do they call it a dynasty? When do you call it a dynasty?
When do you call sports? I don't know. That's a good question.
I think you got to have five solid years put together.
How many championships, though?
Like, three.
Three. In a row?
Or
three in, say, 5 years.
Three in 5 years is good. Three
that
in a row.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Pretty definite.
Do you call... Okay, so you call, like, the San Francisco Giants of the MLB a dynasty because they've won two championships in 3 years. And that, in Major League Baseball, which I think is the hardest trophy to win... That's incredible to me.
Would the Blue Jays have been a dynasty early 90s?
92, 93? That's very, very close.
I think that's why I'm thinking the one more championship.
Yeah, and you know, and it's on that border when you get two in a row or at least two in 3 years, you're like, yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But do you call, I mean, you look at the dynasties, the Lakers with Phil Jackson, the Bulls with Phil Jackson, Jordan Pippen. Phil Jackson's just a dynasty maker.
Yeah, yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens in there. The Edmonton Oilers are in there.
Islanders.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's those are definitive dynasties.
Right.
But and are we in the process of one? I would like to hope so.
I'd like to see it. I think we're due for, like, a super team again.
Yeah,
you know?
And why not, man? I want to see that. And now Greg Oden has signed with the Heat. I don't know. He's such an ogre. And he is, like, the oldest 23-year-old man.
What happened? What's his story?
Well, he's been injured. He hasn't played in, like, 3 years.
Just bad knees? Or
bad everything.
Bad everything.
He was, like, the worst first-round, first overall pick, like, almost ever. And now he signed. Apparently, he's looking healthy again. I don't know. He could be a good role player, but he's not going to be in that offense with the big three plus Ray Allen. He's not going to be a big contributor,
right?
Whatsoever.
But he's on a back to back championship team now. So who knows?
Who knows? With
you're playing with the best. So
exactly, yeah. And that could bring out the best. Another big story was the Blackhawks,
right?
Winning 24 in a row.
That was an impressive one too.
Oh, huge! And in hockey, it's even more difficult. I think to win games in a row because you're putting your body on the line every single night.
Yep.
And in a shortened season, these guys were playing much. I mean, they won in a row more than half the games they played.
Yep. And some of those players had already played 30, 40 games, and maybe not 40 games, but 30 games over in Europe as well, which may benefit or not. At the end of the season, there was a few players, I can't remember how many, had played 100 games. At the end of the playoffs between the Bruins and the Blackhawks.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot of hockey.
Well, it's a lot of hockey for half a season.
Right, exactly.
But what's really cool about both of those streaks is that they both went on to win their championships this year. That's a big story. I don't know. I don't know if that's ever happened. Like with
no, because
with
typically,
giant streaks like that, typically when you peak in the regular season like that, that doesn't give you postseason success, which is really really cool to see that like that happening here. And it was a huge team effort. I don't really know if you can put. Especially the Blackhawks win.
No.
You can't really put that on anyone's back in particular. I mean, even Ray Emery won his fair share of games. He was like 17-1 this year.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for a backup goaltender.
Yeah. He was a big part of their...
Yeah, which 24. Is exactly... Well, and we'll get into that later. Another big one, Andy Murray. First British man to win Wimbledon 77 years since Fred Perry.
And who made the mistake of calling him the first English? It was like
someone did,
posted on Twitter. I think it was like The Guardian or something. No, not The Guardian. New Yorker or something.
Yeah, he's not English.
No, he's not.
No, he is Scottish. That was huge. I mean, he's been wanting it for so bad. England and all of Britain has been wanting a Brit to win so bad. I mean, it's important to them. And tennis is a huge, huge deal out there. It was something like 88% of televisions were watching in the United Kingdom. That's impressive.
A lot of people,
that's a lot of people. Like, no one can try and find enough people to give a shit in the United States to watch the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, that percentage. I mean, I understand there's much less people in all of Britain to be watching, but still, that's a crazy percentage. I mean, to all be watching that on a Sunday, that's nuts.
Yeah, and it's not like, I'm sure they love their tennis, but it's Brits aren't known for loving tennis.
Not necessarily. They're soccer. It's Wimbledon. Yeah, it's
right. It is Wimbledon.
It's so footy out there. Yeah, absolutely. Well, whatever. Soccer. we
know.
Call it what you want. Call it
what you want. It's kick the ball around.
Yeah, kick it to the guy. How do you feel? How do you feel about talking about the other crazy stuff that happened this year with the athletes who turn out to be murderers?
Oh, the murder leagues.
Yeah, the murder leagues.
Well, here's the shitty thing is I had Hernandez was my tight end in my fantasy football.
Yeah. He was a keeper league?
It was a keeper league, and I was... I don't know if I was going to keep him.
How many keepers do you have?
Two keepers and one rookie.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's dumb. Why would you keep a tight end?
I wasn't. I was going because I would keep my quarterback, my wide receiver, and then I was going to draft him.
Okay.
Like with my first pick, which I know no one else was going to do. Right, him or Gronk, right. I was going to do, but Gronk had a sore arm, so I was like, Hernandez is going to be great, dude.
Nine surgeries later.
Yeah, exactly.
The tight end game in fantasy football this year is just a mess now.
Well, because tight ends are starting to become
more
than just a blocker.
A
on
pass
the field.
Blocker,
yeah.
And sometimes I'll catch some balls. Yeah. Like they all of a sudden the New England Patriots have changed the game in terms of how you use tight ends.
Yeah.
And now they don't really have either of them.
No.
Because one is going to go number one overall in my fantasy prison league.
Yeah.
Because I've been pretty weak ever since... What's his face? Who shot himself in the foot? Got out.
Oh, Plax. all football players, of course.
Yeah, I haven't had anybody getting the reception since Plax.
He deserved to go to jail just for being dumb, though.
Yeah, like, sure.
If you're gonna hold a gun in your pants, wear a belt. Like,
yeah, man.
Sweatpants, dude.
Or you just deserve to get shot in the foot because you're stupid and you have a loaded gun without a safety on inside your pants. You're lucky that it was your foot
and didn't shoot up.
Yeah, man. Like, give me a break. But, I mean, speaking of stupid, like, Aaron Hernandez signs a $40 million contract extension, the most for a tight end ever, and then he's like, you know how I'm going to celebrate? I'm going to kill this dude. Because that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
He had a $12.5 million contract signing bonus, too.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just going to straight up murder this cat.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that, he, with that letter that he sent to the Pats before they drafted him, saying, like, I've really changed my ways, I want to commit to being a good person, that, I mean, without that, they probably don't draft him.
Yeah.
He towed the line. I mean, Belichick doesn't put up with BS from players. Robert Kraft, like, the whole organization, they're a very well-oiled machine. And he towed the line for a couple of years. But then they give him all this money, he signs a big contract, he's like, cool, I don't care, I'll start shooting poop. Like, I'll start shooting people.
Yeah.
I don't care. I have all this money. I'm above the law.
It's so silly to see these young athletes. I mean, I don't know who to blame. Like, we were talking earlier about if we were 20 getting... mind you, I don't think me and you are going to go out and shoot someone.
More.
But that, he's, you know, he's a, that's in his roots. Like, he's obviously a gangster when he was
a
kid.
Yeah,
and
he's a gangster who could run really fast. He's big and strong. He could catch a football.
Caught a football, got an opportunity, didn't want to leave his roots behind.
Well,
or
yeah, because they still think that they're hard. They still think that they're gangsters.
Yeah.
And you're not, dude. You're a gangster because millions of people love you for what you do in sports.
Yeah.
Isn't that enough? Like, why do you have to prove that you're tough?
Yeah, yeah. Like, or who are you proving it? In fact, you're playing
ridiculous.
The toughest one.
You killed a guy because he was hanging out with people that you don't like.
Is
and
that
you're
the,
like, okay,
story,
I'm just going to go home, get my gun, and let my security camera see that I'm going home to retrieve my gun. Take this guy out to a field, shoot his ass, come home with my gun,
yeah,
clearly on tape, and put it away.
Yeah.
And then try and destroy my security cameras after.
Destroy so my that phone the cops, and blah, blah, blah.
Like, what are you doing, yeah. man? It was just, watch CSI one time. Yeah. I don't know. Figure it out.
I just, I like, what meant, he's obviously had some sort of mental issue because.
Yeah.
Why would you even want to do that?
Well, and he's under investigation for
another murder.
Killing other people yeah. in Boston. Like, this guy's a serial killer. He, yeah. you know what? This guy needs to stay away from Dexter because he fits the code, like, perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
Dexter's coming after Aaron Hernandez.
Totally.
If he ever gets out. Speaking of murderers, what about Oscar Pistorius?
Yes.
Killing his girlfriend the day after Valentine's Day. I mean, this guy's a South African Olympic hero with no legs from the knees down. And he competed in... Like outside
the real Olympics. Olympics,
yeah, yeah, outside of special Olympics. Well, he no, but he crushed the Special Olympics,
right?
So it wasn't really fair. Like this guy needs to actually compete in the real Olympics, and it, huge, groundbreaking, amazing guy. And then he just shoots his girlfriend.
Very controversial too, because before the shooting of his girlfriend, because is he cheating in a sense? Like, is he using because he's. Using
well, because
robot
he's got
feet.
Like moon legs. Yeah, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe in a way, but you can't take that away from him.
No, no, no. I'm just saying. Would it be all right for, let's say, a swimmer to have rocket feet?
Rocket, yeah, more aerodynamic in the water. I don't know. Maybe I don't. Well, that he's kind of a bionic man.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's now he got convicted.
Is it still going on? I don't know. But either way, big story from 2013 is what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Another murder leads.
Yeah, man. And then there's this whole Riley Cooper thing at the Kenny Chesney concert. You heard about this,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. Right after Macklin goes down.
Yeah.
Or actually, what?
So Jeremy Macklin goes down for the season. And now Riley Cooper, who should be replacing him, this long-haired white dude... has the opportunity of his career. New coach coming in to impress. Probably likes his chances with that. Michael Vick to impress. I mean, the Eagles really need a bounce back here. This guy had everything in front of him. And then he gets drunk at a Kenny Chesney concert. And he uses the N-word. And it's caught on tape. And now everyone hates him.
Yeah.
And he's got such a target on his back. And it's like how to ruin your career 101.
It's the same thing we keep bringing up. As an athlete now, you're under that microscope all the time.
Yeah, man, you don't know that social media age, because that 20 years ago, no one would have known.
No.
No one would have known that Riley Cooper
or even
said
if
that.
He did,
or it was word of mouth, and he could
have
denied it,
yeah.
said that didn't happen. I mean, look at Sean Kemp. Do you know how many kids we would know about with Sean Kemp if Twitter was around back then? Yeah. We already know about a bunch of them, but we would have heard about it right then. You know what I mean? It would have ended his career so fast, mm-hmm. or at least, you know, in the public spotlight.
Right.
And now, you know, you don't know whose camera is on, dude. You got to be careful. And this guy goes and says something as ludicrous as this. Go search for it if you haven't seen it. It's just, and like, the worst part about it is it's the maliciousness in his voice. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a word that he's used to saying.
So it's a word that he's used to saying in a negative way. It's
a negative
not like,
connotation.
My dad brought up a point. He might be... He hadn't seen the video, but I just
He probably hears it all the time.
That's what my dad was saying. He's probably in a dressing room with a whole bunch of real... real black... poverty kids who are now...
It's almost a word of camaraderie. You know?
Exactly.
It's not meant malicious when they say it to each other.
Right.
But as white people, we just don't have any right. That's just
no. But what his point was, perhaps in the dressing room, it's something that is said and that he can say with his teammates. I don't think so. But then when you see the video, like you said, the tone in
his
voice.
It's the hard R.
Yeah.
At the end of it. You know what I mean? It's that hard R that makes me feel like it was not, like, it was meant for nothing but to be racist.
Yes.
And that is brutal, dude.
And it doesn't help that he is... seems like he's a good old boy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he's a Kenny Chesney concert, dude. What? Like, you could have picked a worse place to say that. Like, of course you're... Oh, God, what a nightmare. Like, and it's as if Chip Kelly... has enough to deal with right now. I mean, Macklin goes down. He doesn't know what he's going to do with Michael Vick. He's probably looking at that $68 million facility in Oregon that they just built for the Ducks, which is basically the University of Nike, and saying, man, I really wish I could go back there. Like, how good does that barbershop, like I said, Jim Rome tweeted this, how good does that barbershop look back in Oregon right now that is in the training facility?
Yeah.
Like, they actually, there's literally a barbershop inside the facility. Like, it's like you can just go get a haircut after practice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Just go do what you want. Yeah. Well, what a nightmare for Chip Kelly. That's the NFL is going to be very, very interesting this year.
Yeah.
Well, those have been like, there's been a lot of big, big stories this year.
Those are kind of like the biggest ones that I remember too, man. There's, and you know what? We're only really, realistically, we're only halfway through there's because
so my favorite time of year for sports is coming up, man. Yeah. The fall, the NFL's back. Yeah. The NBA and the NHL come back, and baseball playoffs, I honestly don't feel like there is any better playoff atmosphere than baseball. It just gets so awesome to watch.
It is a pretty, you know, I might not pay attention to baseball for the whole season. It's too long for me.
It's 162 games. I don't.
But like you said, man, when the playoffs hit, it's like everyone kind of becomes a little bit of a baseball fan.
100%. You know? Yeah, and that's the appeal.
Yeah.
Most people, and that's why baseball works for the nuts about the sports, because there's so many statistics. The game, the season is so long.
It's a long. It's
you can get so deep into it. Yet the casual sports fan can check back in and every now and again. You know what I mean. And then when the playoffs come, they're like, okay, sweet, I'm into this. And you can still follow along. You still know names. You still know, but you just don't know the intangibles.
Yeah.
As a crazy baseball fan like me, or
well, I couldn't tell you all of the people on the Toronto Blue Jays. I couldn't tell you all the players on the Blue Jays, but you know
some names,
right? And you know you can like I follow them. I knew that they were going up. I don't watch the football.
They
had
the 11 game win streak,
And then they now they're coming back down. And,
I could do you have another 5 hours? Because I
we'll definitely do this again.
I could talk about the Blue Jays for until my face falls off.
Let's wrap this up because I'm going to get a ticket on my car. That's okay. NFL predictions for the Super Bowl 2014.
Yeah. This year's going to be interesting, man. I mean, what do you want to do conference wise?
Sure. Give me give me a breakdown of who you think is going to in each conference have their best. If division too, if you want to go division, you can do that. But who would you say has the best chance?
Coming out of the AFC, you can't really look at anybody with the Broncos. They added a lot of talent already. Although losing Dan Coppin, their center, for the entire year isn't going to be easy, but it doesn't matter. Peyton Manning can make any guy look good who's hiking him the ball.
Yeah.
They added Wes Welker. They still have just their receiving core is just stupid. Their defense is young and aspiring. Like, they're coached well. Their front office is good. They're pissed because you know they wanted to win last year and they're pissed that they didn't. So look out for them, man. They're gonna be strong. The Pats are always a threat, although they lost 85% of their receiving core.
But, like, if anyone can get a new set of receivers each year, it's Tom Brady.
And Bill Belichick. Yeah, absolutely. And it's Tom Brady's birthday today.
Birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday, Tom. You don't need me to tell you happy birthday.
Your wife.
You have Giselle Bundchen to tell you happy
Your beautiful, birthday. Beautiful
you
wife.
Son of a bitch. there's gonna be some teams making leaps. I like my dark horse. I don't know, maybe the Dolphins coming out of the AFC. Mm-hmm. They're looking better. They added Mike Wallace. They have good strength up the middle. Tannehill doesn't look like he's limp-wristing it much coming out of camp anymore. He's still very unproven, but I mean they have nowhere to go but up for me.
Yep.
The AFC, the Colts are gonna have a really good year.
You think Luck's going to perform in his sophomore season?
Because he's not. Guys like him don't have sophomore slumps. No.
That's how I feel about him, too. I feel like RG3 is a college quarterback coming into the NFL.
It's the Vic syndrome, right? I mean, nobody knows how to deal with you when you get there, so you do really well.
Yeah.
But then you have an entire offseason to study this guy and to figure out what he does, and then you shut him down. That's why, like, on Vic's return after the whole dogfighting thing, he lit up the Redskins. They put up, like, 65.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, wow, Michael Vick is back. Like, he's unstoppable. And then last year, he sucked.
Yeah.
He sucked the bag. Like, he was on his knees. He was blowing it so bad.
Because people figured him out again, right?
Yeah, well, they studied him, and they figured out he's a bit of a one-trick pony in that way. If you can figure out the read option,
yep.
Which, you know, it's hard to figure out, but if you can study him, he's stoppable. Andrew Luck, he's telegraphing you. He's like, stop me.
Yeah.
That's it. He's a Peyton Manning. He's a Tom Brady. Yep. He's a pocket quarterback. They're basically saying, this is what I'm coming at you with. Try and stop me. Yeah.
That's my quarterback for my fantasy. My keeper.
You're keeping Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
Ooh, is he your rookie keep?
No, I had him and Eli throughout the season.
Ship him.
Yeah. So halfway through the season, I swapped them and I started starting Luck over Manning. And then at the end, I was like, no, I'm just going to keep Luck. Well, it depends. I might keep him as my rookie or my because I get three keepers and a rookie, so I can put him wherever I want.
Okay.
But anyways, I'm glad you say that because I don't feel like. He's going to have that slump.
No, and the Colts got better, man. They made some signings. They're young. Bruce Arians, he left them. I mean, he's obviously going to have a great year in Arizona. But they're gonna look good, dude. I hate it because they shouldn't be. They were so bad 2 years ago. And they got so lucky. Like, Peyton Manning goes over the season,
funny.
They go like 1-15, and then they get Andrew Luck, and then they're back in contention a year later. They made the playoffs. That's not fair. They've had their time. Go away.
It shows you how much a quarterback means to a football team.
Absolutely. You know, they actually, to bring it back to drafted, so on their Twitter, they pose questions, and as part of the top 24, we need to answer them and kind of weigh in. It's a good idea to show your face and see that you're active online and stuff. And actually, they posed it today. They said, with Dan Coppin, the center for the Broncos, being out for the season, what player, like current or past, his injury has affected a team as much? I was like, well, there's absolutely no other choice besides maybe Brady in 2008 when he was gone the whole season and the Pats sucked. But, I mean, anybody but Peyton Manning, there's no way. I mean, like, it was completely night and day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The team was in absolute disarray without him.
Yep.
And then he leaves, and they get arguably the best quarterback to come out of college in a long, long time that will have longevity in the league in Andrew Luck. Like,
yeah. He's going to play 17, 18 seasons.
Yeah, because he has the type of style. He doesn't put himself into bad spots. He'll get hit every now and then, but it won't be bad.
And you know why I love him, too? It's because I don't hear a word about him.
Not
a peep. He's not doing anything. He's not going out. He's a dude who's really taking his opportunity.
He's a Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's a good old boy. He's Peyton Manning. He's a Drew Brees.
Yeah.
NFC. What are your thoughts?
Is Seattle up in the NFC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Seahawks.
They're your dark horse, or they're just...
No, don't be my dark horse.
You know what? They're not anymore. They're not a dark horse anymore. I mean, losing Percy Harvin for the first 12 weeks or whatever is going to be tough, but they're not a dark horse anymore.
They've been coming out
of the Pacific Northwest, and they're really hard to beat at home, but they've been that underdog for so long. Now no one's surprised.
Yeah, okay.
Especially with Russell Wilson, who's my boy.
Yeah.
Love him. Like... absolute dream. It's so funny.
He has that same demeanor as Luck, where it's like he's...
Dude, do you follow him on Twitter?
No, is he
half of his half? No, no. Half of his tweets are like, it's all inspirational. Like, he does so much charity work, but half of his tweets are like Bible verses.
Yeah,
like, he's just a good dude.
He's just a really honest.
And he does not. There is absolutely no way he's letting all this attention and fame go to his head, and that's why I think he'll be grounded and he'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Coming out of the NFC, though, it's going to come down to the Packers and the Niners.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The Falcons will threat. You know, the NFC is interesting. Like, the Redskins are looking good this year again. If RG3 doesn't have a slump, the Falcons are looking crazy again. They got Steven Jackson to improve their running game, and they have two of the best receivers in the league.
That's just going to make Ryan a better gunslinger, man.
He signed that big contract extension. You know, he's making $20 million a year now, so he's secure.
Is he an underrated quarterback, or is he a quarterback?
He still has to. He hasn't won enough in the playoffs yet. No, you know, if he goes to the Super Bowl last year, yeah, but he lost to a rookie who played half the season. You know, that, and when you look at it that way, it's like, oh, like Colin Kaepernick, he's the type of player who could have a slump.
Right.
The Niners are going to be strong, and like their defense will be brutally good again. I don't know, man. It's going to be a lot resting on his shoulders.
And the same thing, like you said, people have had a full year, really.
Looking at him now.
Watch him.
Yeah, they've had a whole offseason to look at this kid and see his strengths and weaknesses. And his weaknesses did come out in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like besides that crazy fourth quarter after the lights went out, that's another big story about
him. Yeah.
What was that?
Conspiracy?
How do we milk an extra few million bucks out of people?
Exactly.
Like, let's just turn the lights off. What? I can't believe that happened. Like, who? Whatever. Yeah. I think yeah, it was someone in Vegas tampering.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, we got it. It was a spread.
Fix the spread.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting year in the NFL. I'd say Super Bowl, Broncos, Seahawks. That would be amazing.
Wow.
That's my prediction now. Broncos, Seahawks.
Broncos, Seahawks.
They, it's a rivalry already because they're so close to each other. That would be amazing to see. I don't know if it will for sure happen, but, you know, I like making bold predictions.
That would be a bad Super Bowl for the NFL, though.
Why?
Because it's not in any real big
market. No, that's true. Well, I don't know.
Denver, I know it's Manning, so it doesn't matter.
Denver has become a big market all of a sudden. Yeah. Because, like, did you see? Like, they
and Seattle must be a growing market.
It's one of the best sports cities in North America, hands down.
Like, yep. And they're talking about bringing a hockey team there.
And trying to get a basketball team. They had the Kings for a second, and then Sacramento rallied around. But, like, did you see how many Sunday night and Monday night games that the Broncos played last year? It was stupid.
Was it because of Manning?
Or, yeah, 100%. It was because of Manning. He's still arguably the face of the NFL. It was either him, Breeze, Rodgers, or Brady.
Well, until Manning goes down, he's still
captain.
The king of the castle,
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to put him in prime time because he is prime time.
He's a fun football player. Well, he's to watch. Just, his offense is so fun to watch.
The guy's just the best, man. You can't deny him. I hate him so. I love him though. Yeah, he's good.
All right, well, Harry, man, it was an hour. We did an hour.
Wow, that was a fast hour.
It was fast. I'm definitely gonna have to come back out.
Dude, absolutely.
We'll have to chat about some other stuff.
Let's absolutely make that happen. I had a ton of fun doing this.
Cool, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining us on Cool Sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your Twitter again?
It's at Harry Thomas Hall.
Right, at Harris Tommy Hall. Tommy Hall.
You mess it up.
Harry Thomas Hall.
That's right. And go to drafted.ca and find my picture and just click vote. Really, really easy.
Yeah, I'll put the
voting
link up
ends,
too.
Yeah. Voting ends August 13th. I go to boot camp in a week. And you can check it all out. You know, follow at Drafted on Twitter or just find Gillette Drafted on Facebook. And it's all there. It's going to be exciting, man.
Yeah, it already
is. I'm already so tired from just like inundating myself with sports knowledge as much as I can. I'm trying to be a sponge, but
good.
You know, it's tough, but
well,
it's
you know what, dude, it's it'll pay off. I know
it's a dream job. Yeah. I want it so bad. I will sleep my way to the top.
Good. starting right now.
That's right. Well, thank you for having me, dude. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, we'll catch up with you again real soon. Good luck. Africa, bow to the master, the coach, the greatest of all time. The greatest of all time. The greatest of all time.